So Psalms 92, and we'll do a little exposition at first. Everyone say it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is excellent to give thanks unto the Lord. It's strength. It's power. All you got to do is begin to sing the blues and talk about what's not and what can't be and what happened way long years ago, and your spirit will just begin a lazy descent down into the pit of depression and powerlessness, and your strength to resist the enemy is depleted and diminished just because you simply made a choice to stand on the wrong side of life, on the whining, crying side of life, rather than to stand on the side where you say, I know about life and I'm a realist and I understand all the bobos and the bumps and the trouble. I'm not a fool and I'm not blind, but I've got a God in heaven that is bigger than all my troubles and better than any enemy that's going to come against me. I believe God. It's a good thing to give thanks unto God. It's a good thing to count your blessings and to give thanks to God. You've got to count your blessing. Instead of counting your bobos and instead of counting your troubles, go ahead and count your blessings. There'll always be something wrong. You never will reach perfection here. There'll always be something wrong with you, something wrong with your spouse, something wrong with your children, something wrong with your preacher, something wrong with your church. There'll always be something wrong. But the winning side of this is to get on the side where you count your blessings instead of the trouble. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. There's power in it. You feel better immediately when you start thanking God. I'm just telling you, step out of the middle of the problem and just begin to give thanks to God. You better know this. There's somebody there watching. There's somebody there listening. He wants to steal your joy. He'd like to wreck your experience. He'd like to destroy your home and your family and your marriage. And if he can put enough of that on your shoulders, he'll make you believe God has forgotten all about you. But the best way to stay alive in the kingdom of God is to stay thankful. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Somebody say, I love his name. Praise God. I know and I praise his name. Praise God. It's a good thing to give thanks, and it's a good thing to sing praises unto the name of God. When you know the name of God, you have knowledge of revelation. You have a revelatory knowledge, because the name of God throughout the Word of God is never just a name like Sam or Frank or Danny, but the name of God is always a compound or a descriptive or an illustrative of the power of God, his relationship with his people, what he's doing in the way of provision or protection or mounting up his strength. His name always indicates the power of God, the provision of God, the goodness of God for his people. The name Jesus is Yeshua, or it's Joshua, if you would. God has become our salvation. My God, I tell you, it's good if the president's on your side. It's fine if you know the neighbor. It's great if your daddy's the head of the state police. But if God has become your savior, friend, you are in a place that is sweet with promise and authority. I'm glad I know his name. I'm glad I know what that name means. When I need a lion, he's a lion. When I need a lamb, he's a lamb. When I need a covering, he's a covering. When I need a banner, he's a banner. When I need a strong tower, I can hide in that name. When I need strength, there's no name like that name. When I need dominion, every knee's got to bow and every tongue has to confess. That's the name above every name. Somebody say that name. Somebody say that name. It's a good thing to give thanks unto God and to sing praises unto his name. I praise you for your name, Jesus. I thank you for your name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I never did understand. Old Sister Elmina Parker, when she was popping green beans, she was Jesus, 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 Jesus. I never saw, I was raised on a truck farm. I never saw anybody handle and process produce while talking about the name of Jesus. But every waking moment, every time she had a little spare time, she just loved to turn that name and let it spill out of her mouth. She was anointing everything around her by the name of Jesus. It's a good thing to give thanks and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Praise God. Praise God. His name is always indicative of his covenant relationship with his people. Praise God. Praise God. Do you know what his kingdom is about and what your place is in the kingdom? Do you have a sure fix on your identity? And do you know what your role is in the kingdom of God? Praise God. And are you happy with what God is doing? And are you pleased that he has laid his hand on you and made you alive where you were dead in sins and trespasses, and giving you a chance, another chance, when you had already had your name on the roll of hell? Praise God. Praise God. What a song. I know the plan of God and my place in it and what he wants to do with my life. When I praise him and when I sing unto his name, it is a testament to the fact that he is my focus. He is my satisfaction. He is my joy. And when I murmur, and this is why murmuring hacked God off so bad. When I murmur, I say he's not enough. When I complain and murmur, I say I don't agree with what he's doing. When I'm continually finding fault and I'm depressed about the status of my life, that I'm saying God doesn't know what he's doing, and I disagree with God. The other side of that is I'm giving thanks and I'm singing about the power of his name. Well, praise God. Praise God. Verse 2, to show forth thy loving kindness. We have a calling to show forth. Praise God. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we might show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. There's a purpose and a function for those that are redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're called and chosen and holy and peculiar because God's chosen us to show forth his praises. Everybody say, I've got a calling. My calling is to show forth his praises. Come on, say it. My calling is to show forth his praises. Praise the Lord. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. I have a mandate from God. God saved my soul. God redeemed me from my sins. God broke the chains of bondage and God released me from the snare of the enemy. And now I have a calling in my life, and my calling is to show forth his loving kindness every morning and his goodness every night. I got a full-time job. It's morning, noon, and night. What's your job? To show how good he is. To talk about how good he is. To thank him and praise him for how good he is. To let people know there's a good God. If you're down on your luck, there's a good God. If you don't have a friend, there's a good God. If you're feeling pretty bad about life, there's a good God that wants to make a way for you. I've got a calling, and my calling is to show him loving and kind and faithful every day and every night. Somebody say, God is good. Listen, he's good and he's true all the day, all the night. God is good. God is true. Now, everything outside of you says that's a lie. Everything outside of you says that's not true. There is an inexorable pressure outside this church and outside the temple of your life to make you swallow those words, because this world doesn't want to hear God is good. This world doesn't want to hear God is true. This world and the demonic forces of it, they don't want to hear about it. But you and I, we have a job, and our job is to loose our mouths and our faith and to cry out in a world that's lost its way. There's a good God. He's still good. He's still true. He's still a loving God. In the daytime, in the nighttime, we need to talk about it. Shake your neighbor and say, you need to talk about this. Talk about how good God is. Your job, your calling's not to talk bad about politicians. Your calling's not to gripe about the economy. Your calling's not to gripe about the weather. You better think twice about that. Your calling's not to talk about how bad things are and to develop an old sour attitude, because your mouth speaks the abundance of your heart, and it's on a loop, and what you speak with your mouth becomes the content of your heart. And the more you're negative, the more negative your heart becomes. You better stop that. You better arrest that. And you need to begin to loose the power of life and death is in your tongue. Praise God. You better begin to talk about the goodness of God. You've got a calling to show forth the goodness of God, His loving kindness, His faithfulness. Does anybody in this house believe that God is loving and kind? Has He been kind to you? My God, does anybody believe that He's a good God? Has He been good to you? Praise God. That needs to be your testimony. That needs to be your song. He's a good God. Every day, all the time. Verse 3, upon an instrument of 10 strings. Now, I want you to know that as you're praising God, anybody can praise God. Anybody. Brother Larry Booker claps like this. He is so funny. But anybody can clap their hands and praise the Lord. But somebody that is serious about praising God has a song in their heart. David said, he's put a new song in my heart, even praising to my God. But for somebody to learn how to praise God on an instrument of 10 strings, standard guitar has 6. If they double them up, it's a 12 string, but it still plays easy like 6 strings. Standard bass has 4. We've got a 5 string bass, and they make 6 string basses. But whoever this is in this psalm, they're playing a 10 string bass. There's a lot of involved musical mechanics going on there. Somebody has spent some time to become skilled at praising God. This is not casual praise. This is serious praise. This is how we praise Him. We praise Him like this. On 10 strings. On an instrument of 10 strings. On the psaltery and on the harp. Not just on the harp, but on the harp with a solemn sound. It's like I want to grab you when we play this harp. I want it to move you. This is the nuance of the music. This is not just playing music. This is being so skillful that you understand the nuance and the technique of the music so you can make it sound solemn. You give it a personality. You give it a feel. You're in command of that thing. This is not somebody that's just casually praising God. This is somebody that said, I'm going to put in the time, and I'm going to be somebody that praises God so that I can knock you off that back row back there and pull tears out your eyes and your nose at the same time. It's a solemn sound. Praise God. Praise God. Praising God. These people are serious about praising God. And I'm glad to say we are serious about praising God in this house. We are serious about praising God. Now, some people don't understand that, and some people don't get into praise and worship, but that's because they are divorced from understanding the Word of God. Because David drove devils out of Saul's house with praise, and David came down Main Street dancing with all of his might, and Jehoshaphat sent the choir and won the battle with praise, and Paul and Silas broke down the jailhouse with praise and worship, and when Job didn't know what else to do, he fell on his face and he worshiped. Praise is a revelation and powerful throughout the Word of God, and every major player in the Word of God understands the power of praise. It is connected God's going to have it. He said, I'll raise up rocks to praise me. God's going to have it. It's powerful in transmitting to the next generation your concept of God. Praise is so very important. And I'm glad we're in a church house that understands and practices praise. And for you, if you don't know, it takes hours and hours to put together a piece of music here for this choir or for these praise singers. And then they work on it for hours and hours. They're here early on Sunday morning working on that. So when you walk in the house of God and you're in need, and there's somebody here going to play skillfully, there's somebody here going to sing skillfully. They don't just step up here and say, I can hear all those harmonies. They work on those harmonies. They're still working. They're getting better and better as they go. I'm so glad we have people that are engaged and involved and take serious the business of praising God. It is a good thing to give thanks unto God. It's a good thing to remember his loving kindness and his goodness day and night. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 4, for thou, Lord, has made me glad. Everybody say, God has made me glad. Come on now, you need to tell your face about it. God has made me glad. Come on, are you really glad to be living for God, or is it just some, I got to do this so I don't go to hell? Come on, you can't do this well without doing it with joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, God has made me glad. There's a lot of reasons for that. We won't rehearse them all tonight. But the Lord, you've made me glad through thy work, through what he does and what he's done. He makes me glad. And everyone say, I will triumph. Praise God. Look, there's not a loser in this house. If you've got a mind to live for God, if you've got a heart to follow after God, there's not a devil in hell, no army in hell. There's not a demon in the mix that can destroy your mission in the kingdom or deter you from reaching that God has called you to be or do. Praise God. Praise God. There is a work in the hand of God, and I will triumph, he says, in the works of thy hands. Praise God. How are you going to triumph? I'm going to triumph in the work of God's hands. Why are you glad? I'm glad because the work of God. What are you singing and dancing and praising God for? Because of what God's done. Because he's good. And he's loving kindness personified. And he's merciful. And because of what he's done. That's why I'm glad. On days when I'm a winner, I'm glad because God is good. On days when I'm a loser, I'm glad because God is good. On days when I'm healthy, I'm glad because God is good. On days when I'm sick as a dog, thank God they're few and far between. But I'm glad because of the works of God's hands. Praise God. Then my joy is not defined by my erratic life experience, but my joy rests upon the solid bedrock of the constancy of God, because God is always the same. When I wake up in the morning, I don't have to wonder. My wife may be in a bad mood, but God's going to be the same. I don't have to wonder. The dog may bite me this morning, but I don't have to wonder about God. God's going to be good to me. I can't tell you what the boss is going to be like. The boss may kick me off the job, but God's going to be good every day, every day. So then I choose not to be defined by the fluid human circumstantial situation around me, but rather be defined by the surety of the promise of God, who never changes, and the works of his hands, which are always good. And I will triumph not by my power, but by the works of his hands. I will triumph. Everyone say, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Praise God. Oh Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Praise God. You got to understand this, that promotion and success, blessing, strength, and joy, they all are a product of the work of God's hands. Praise God. There's not a man alive that can produce what God can produce. They come from God. Everybody say, it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Aren't you glad? It doesn't depend on your might or somebody else's power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And it was the Spirit of God that stepped out into the pre-creative cosmos and just spoke and said, let there be. And the sky was arrayed in stars. What kind of a God is that? My God, I don't want to depend on me when that's going on. Praise God. Praise God. So he meets with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a very highly educated man, powerful in his social circles, and a man of position and degree. And he says, Nick, you've got to start all over again. Praise God. Because it won't ever be because of the accomplishment of your hands. And it won't ever be because of your smarts and your strength and how clever you are and how awesome you are. Now, don't misunderstand me. We like to celebrate people because it makes us all feel good to have our back patted. You did good, son. You did good. Well, that feels good. That's good. But you need to learn a lesson early on that when people begin to tell you, you did a fine job, all A's on that report card, cleaned up your room, made your mama proud, you need to learn early on. It's just the goodness of God. It's just the blessing of God. He did make all A's, didn't he? Okay. She's going, yeah, mama's proud. Mama's proud. Praise God. Because it's by his spirit. Everybody says it's by his spirit. You know, I need God. I need God every day. I need God. Praise God. Praise God. Psalms 1 we touched on Sunday night. You're blessed if you don't walk with the sinners and sit with the scornful and stand with those that are not like God. You're blessed. And the scripture says that that man in his blessing is like a tree planted by rivers of water. And he's never going to wither, and always will his fruit prosper. I guess the most powerful phrase there is, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise God. Why? Because he disdains the definitions of the world, and he's plugged in to the things of God. Praise God. And everything he does is going to be successful, and it's going to prosper in his hands. That scripture, along with the one we're reading tonight, recognizes the concept of spiritual primacy. Spirit is primary. Natural things are secondary at best. Spirit is primary. For your life, for your career, for your relationships, for your marriage, for your children, for your walk in life, it's always spiritual things are first. Natural things are secondary. It's more important for you to be plugged in with God than to be plugged in with a boy. It's more important for you to be plugged in with God than to be plugged in with a little girl. It's more important for me to be plugged in with God than to be plugged in with the city fathers. It's more important for me to agree with God and God to agree with me than for me to have the agreement and the appreciation of people around. Because it's not going to be by might or power. It's going to be by the works of his hands. Praise God. I want to give him thanks tonight. I want to bless his name because he's spoken to us and dealt with us regarding spiritual primacy. And spiritual primacy is a powerful idea because it has many different moving parts and components, but one of them is this, that you can be involved in an activity that seems totally unrelated to Alabama Power, like faithfulness to the house of God, time spent in a prayer room, worshiping with wild abandon in the house of God, speaking what the Word of God has said. Those things you cannot draw a natural corollary between those things and your status at Alabama Power or your effectiveness on your job. But I will tell you this, as you walk in the anointing of God in prayer and in faithfulness and in the house of God, Psalms 1:1 through about 8 verses there are all about you. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His fruit, his leaf is not going to wither. His fruit is going to prosper. Whatsoever he does, it's going to prosper. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can't do that in a lab. You can't do that empirically. You can't prove that. But I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost tonight, in the Holy Ghost tonight, what I do in the kingdom of God has everything to do with what's going to happen to me tomorrow and the next day and in this natural world and in this natural scenario. Daniel didn't have any connections. He didn't have any political power. He didn't know anybody in Babylon. And when he hit the deck, he said, I'm not going to live like them. I'm not going to eat like them. I'm not going to worship their gods. And because he made right decisions concerning spiritual things, before it was over, he was elevated to a place of primacy in that culture. The king fell. The kingdom fell. And the kingdom that came in put him right back into a place of power. He ruled in a land full of Chaldeans, and then he ruled in a land full of Medes and Persians. But his focus, his joy, his definition was bound up in spiritual things and in the kingdom of God. And because of that, it affected everything he did in the natural and every relationship in his life. I'll tell you, the lions can't eat you. Not if God says no. But there's not a power on this earth, no committee, no delegation, not the United Nations or the Parliament or the President of the United States couldn't say, now don't eat that boy. Nobody could do that. But there was an angel there during the night. Praise God. Praise God. I want God on my side. It's not just, it's a good thing to give praise unto the Lord. Because God needs praise. It's a good thing to give praise unto the Lord because it functions in your life as something that gives you status and strength and anointing and blessing and the coin of the kingdom of God in your pocket. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the psalmist says, the brutish man doesn't understand this. Verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand. Now, Scofield says that this is a stupid man. He says a stupid man doesn't understand this. And the NIV says a senseless man doesn't get this. Because they draw straight lines with natural corollaries. If they can't see it on paper or understand it in a natural, mechanical, physical way, they can't understand it at all. Because there's no room in their life for spiritual things. A grown man kneeling over a chair in a church house weeping like a woman. My God, son, what's wrong with you? Wailing like somebody's old mother. Oh, God. They don't have any understanding of that. It's like, my God, you hear that boy Cedric in that prayer room? God, and it's worse than that. I mean, just bring them in your mind. A likely suspect or two from your job or out of your family or from your hometown. And have them sit here on a Sunday night and just watch what goes on in this place. They're fools. All of them are fools. They're lost. They've lost their minds. Nobody with any self-respect or dignity would act like you act in the house of God on a Sunday night. My God, you got to go out on Monday and rub shoulders with business people in this city. If Phillips could see Bart in the house of God, my God, if UAB could see Bert in the house of God, if the people on the other end of the deal could see Brother Tony worshiping in the house of God, they not only would not understand, you'd be a subject of ridicule and scorn. And I don't know that they'd care to do business with you or be around you. because they don't understand spiritual primacy. They don't understand that it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. The scripture says, Brother Larry, they're brutish, which is stupid and senseless. Like dumb brute beasts that don't understand. They're just eating and drinking and living like animals, and they never look up and understand that there's a God that's in control of all of this. They can't get it. They can't understand it. The tough guys at school can't get it, can't understand it. The Hollywood girls in the social circle, they can't get it. They can't understand it. The people that are so wrapped up in style and fashion and the world and popular things here and what is moving our world and has them captivated at the moment, they can't understand you nor the way that you work. But see, those things don't matter to us. I don't care if I know their songs, and it doesn't matter if I know their programming, and I don't care if I know who their idols are currently. It doesn't matter that I don't care who plays second base on the world championship team. It doesn't matter what the batting average of the third baseman is, and I don't have to know those things. Those are the coins of commerce in their world, but the coins of commerce in our world are the things having to do with the knowledge and the presence and the power and the promise of God. Well, praise God. I want to know what God is doing, the works of his hands. That's what satisfies us. And the works of his hands, those are the things that cause us to triumph. Praise God. But the brutish, senseless, stupid, they don't know because they're so immersed in self. They don't have time for all of that. Because humanity, the flesh, the world, the natural, is the antithesis of God. God is about others. The kingdom of God is about others. The world is about self. Praise God. They don't get it. They can't understand it. They exalt self. They defend self. They promote and feed self. They satisfy self. They get their joy from self. And their confidence comes from self. They can't see the connection between spiritual things and life when spirit is primary. You know, love of self is the root of every negative thing that's moving in your life right now. That's an amazing thing. All the friction, all the hurt, all the offense, all the war, all the competitive slander, all the gossip, all of that is rooted in self and trying to ascend above someone else and being caught up in the works of your own life and the importance of those things and having either no knowledge of or having lost sight of the power and the wonder of the works of God. Praise God. It's a startling statement that Jesus makes when he says, you want to be great in the kingdom of God? How many of you would like to be great in the kingdom of God? Now, I could go through a drill here and ask you, how many of you would like to get a check for $1 million tomorrow? And see, most all of us would, because that's a nice thing. But it's a pretty good measure, and you're the only one deep enough into your heart beside God to know the answer to it. But which one would really thrill you? Which one would crank your motor better? The $1 million or to be great in the kingdom of God? That's tough. Especially where some of you are sitting right now. But I think I know a lot of you, and I think you'd rather be great in the kingdom of God. But his answer was, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you've got to be a servant. You've got to be a servant. Praise God. And a servant is not concerned about himself. A servant is concerned about the subject. that he's serving. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Everybody that wants to be kingdom in the wants to be great in the kingdom of God, say praise the Lord. Praise God. We talked about the cherubim Sunday night, that cherubim that stood on either end of the mercy seat, and they touched wings, and they looked at one another over the blood of Jesus, and they stood upon mercy, and they were beaten out of that pure gold, which was indicative of the mercies of God. And that's a great indication of our fellowship in the presence of God. We are connected by spiritual things. Our wings, which is indicative of our spirituality, we touch in the spirit. We stand upon mercy. We look over the blood. And so there's no self there. There's no animosity. We left all that back at the altar when we came into the process. And now we're standing in the presence of God, and we're just there to serve, and we're just there to testify of the goodness and the power of God. This morning, early in prayer for this church, God said, I'll take you out beyond yourself. I'll take you beyond yourself. See, it's a good thing to give thanks to God, but if you're bummed out about yourself and you don't realize spiritual primacy, you're not going to be giving thanks to God with a very good heart. You know, you may be here, but you're not going to be joyful. You're not going to be giving high praise. You're not going to be magnifying because your focus and your concern is on yourself. But God said, I'll take you out beyond yourself. I'll take you out. Not only will he, and not only does he intend to, but I'll offer you this tonight, that he needs to, and that it is imperative for your spiritual growth and success in the kingdom of God, that God takes you out beyond yourself, which is a really hard thing for a teenager to comprehend, much less be involved in, because being teenager is like being two again, and it's all about self. And I know it's insulting to you, but everything in those teenage years is about you. But even teenagers, God can bring out beyond self. But it takes construct and structure. It takes involving yourself in something that's not about you. It takes being involved in something that's not focused on you and revolving around you, but something that is involved with somebody else. So you got to have a ministry. You got to have something that you can give to somebody else. Praise God. God will take you out beyond yourself. When he calls Abraham, he says, Abram, and he's going to make him the greatest in the kingdom, and he's going to make him the father of the faithful. What does he do with him? First thing, come out. I'm going to bring you out of your homeland, out of your family, out of your culture, out of everything. I'm going to get you away from yourself, and I'm going to make you brand new. He takes him and brings him out beyond himself. Before that story is over, Abram is 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old, and God's promise and the strength of God in their life is contingent on their having a child. Well, for years now, they've been saying, God, we're too old to have a child. We can't produce children anymore. Sarah's womb is dried up, and I'm an old, old man. And when God came and told Abram, Abram fell on his face and laughed at God. It was just funny. It's like going down to the old folks' home and finding the oldest folks there in the place and just sitting there with them and saying, next year, about this time, you're going to be rocking a baby out here on the front porch of this old folks' home. And it's not going to be immaculate conception. You old folks are going to get together and have a baby. Well, when Abram heard that, Sister Riggs, he fell on his face and laughed. And when God was telling Abraham before he blew up Sodom and Gomorrah, Sarah was in the tent and she heard God and she laughed. And God said, why did Sarah laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. He said, nay, but thou didst laugh. But God didn't kill him. He didn't chastise him. He had just told him something that was out beyond their self, their capacity, their ability, their level of comprehension. Can you understand this now? The promise of God is out there beyond self, beyond what you can do, beyond what you can know, beyond what your abilities and your capacities are. But the conundrum has to be fulfilled. You've got to go beyond yourself to get to the promise of God. They had to go beyond themselves. God brought them out. They couldn't see it. Abram was locked up in this little tent. All he could see was the natural world around him. God said, Abram, come with me. We got to get outside of yourself. We got to get outside of your limitations, your little house that you're living in, the little worldly environment that's got you trapped and got your vision crushed down to a place where you can't appreciate the power of God. He said, come out here with me. And he leads him outside the tent. He said, now look at what I've done. Now look at my vision. And Abram's looking up, and God said, your kids are going to be like the star. Can you count them, Abraham? Can you count them, Abraham? I want to tell somebody in this house tonight, there is a promise in the kingdom of God for you that is bigger than anything you ever considered before, that is further than any place you've ever gone before, that is more than you can get to by the power of your arm, that is greater than you're able to get to by the power of all your substance and your skill and your understanding and your connections. But if you're willing to go out beyond yourself, the promise is out there. I tell your neighbor, the promise is beyond me. The promise is beyond self. The promise is beyond self. It's an amazing thing when he tells the disciples to launch out. He said, listen, the promise is out there. It's not here. It's out there in the deep. And you're going to have to go out there to lay hold of the promise of God. Praise God. Now, this psalm is not disconnected, and it's not rambling, and it's not teaching us by chance. But the power of God and the triumph of God is in the works of God and not in my works. It's not in myself. I got to wrap this up because you got to go home and you got to get some sleep because you got to work tomorrow and go to school tomorrow, and I understand. Somebody say praise the Lord. Down in verse, let's go down to verse 10. Everybody say, my horn, God will anoint like the horn of a unicorn. I'll be anointed with fresh oil. My eyes will see my desire on my enemies. My ears will hear my desire on the wicked. Verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That's good news. That's good news. Praise God. He said, I'm going to plant you in my house. And in my, not in your house, but in my house. Not in the house. The word house throughout the scripture can be the lineage of a person or the physical place where a person dwells or the place of their understanding or has many different applications. But God said, I'm not going to plant you in your house. It won't be a house of your making, and it won't be a house of your understanding, but it's going to be a construct of biblical proportions and of anointing power. God's going to put you in a house where you're going to flourish. He said, I'm going to bring you to my house and plant you in my house, and you're going to grow there. Now listen, the world doesn't want that. They don't want to grow up in the Lord's house. They don't want to be in the Lord's house. They think it's all outside the Lord's house. They think you're going to be fulfilled outside the Lord's house. They think you're the only place you're going to find happiness is outside the Lord's house. But he said, I'll bring you in here. Now I'm not talking about this building. I'm just talking about the construct of the promise and the power and the spirit of God. God wants to build you up in these things that seem totally related to success in the world. But he said, I'll make you powerful and mighty and anointed in my house or in my kingdom or in my business. Let's stand together. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody shout, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, when I don't understand what he's doing, I'm still going to give him thanks. When I can't see what he's doing, I'm still going to give him thanks. When things are going bad in the natural, I'm still going to give God thanks. Why? Because I understand that God is always working and that it's the works of God that are going to cause me to triumph. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Come on, God's going to take you beyond your natural culture, beyond your natural understanding. God's going to take you. God's going to take this church. Praise God. Come on, come on down to the altar tonight. God's going to take this church. If I were here without the Holy Ghost, I'd plan to get it tonight. You need to come on down to this altar, just get the Holy Ghost. It's time to move out of your house and move into God's house. It's time to move out of your limitation and move into God's promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's my job to show forth His loving kindness and His power in the morning and in the nighttime. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to shake your neighbor's hand and tell him I'm so glad about what God's doing. Shake somebody else's hand and tell them God's doing a good work in us. Praise God. Shake somebody else's hand and tell them I've got so much to be thankful for. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. My. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to just offer up your vessel to the Lord right now. And I want you to begin to tell God how happy you are about what He's doing with your life right now. God, I'm glad for your plan. And I'm glad for your ways. And I'm glad for your works. And I'm going to triumph in the works of your hands, oh God. And I'm going to be glad in the works of your hands, oh God. And I've got nothing but praise to offer you up tonight, oh God. I've got nothing but thanks tonight because you're a great God and worthy of all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right. For all the unhappy people in the house tonight. Come on now, all the unhappy people in the house. If you're unhappy, it's because you're just too close to yourself. If you get too close to yourself, you'll get rotten. Because there's nothing good in you, not one thing. But the closer I get to Him, not only the better I get, the better I feel. Praise God. I wonder if it's possible to just lose yourself in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to turn to somebody right now, and I want you to lay your hands on them, and I want you to pray God's anointing and blessing on their life. Would you do that right now? God bless my brother, my sister. It's not about me. God, what can I do for you? Would you just begin to give Him thanks now and just give Him praise? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We magnify you. We praise you. We worship you. Praise God. Praise God. I need to meet with the prayer team on Friday at 7. And remember, there's a youth meeting tonight in the conference room. Praise God. We will have.